Amen. God is so good. And, you know, this morning, it's very rare that God wakes me up in the middle of the night. And the other night, God woke me up in the middle of the night with a word. And it was one of those times where you wake up and you roll over and you immediately grab your notebook that's sitting right next to your Bible, next to your nightstand. It was one of those moments. And I heard the words, divine order, divine order. And I wrote that word down, divine order. And I rolled back over and I went to bed. And I didn't think too much of it. You know, as a youth pastor, when God speaks to you, you always, at that point, you know, you'll be obedient. And, you know, God will speak to you. And you'll, you know, it seems like you're always working on a message somewhere along the line. So when God spoke that to me, I just thought, I put it in the back of my mind and just thought, well, I'll work on that one week. I'll work on that message and I'll put it together. And later that afternoon, Wayne calls me and he says, I was wondering if you'd preach for me Sunday morning. I said, I absolutely would preach for you Sunday morning. Because I've already heard from the Holy Spirit, divine order, divine order. So I went on a journey to figure out what God really was saying to not just me, but to you as well. And what was he meaning when he said divine order to me? And divine order, let's just pull the definition up because that's the easiest way for me to read it. Divine order is an arrangement of people or things in relative to each other as a practical sequence or a pattern or method. You see, how many of you, I know that, you know, we got kids and our house will get in disarray, right? Our house will get messed up and it'll get things. And sometimes our life gets messed up. But how many of you know that God is a God of order? He's a God that wants to put things back in order. He's a God that's not going to leave things without form or leave things without void or anything like that. But he's a God of order. Now, there's a couple different definitions of order. That's the noun. The verb is to give authoritative direction. So if I say order, meaning I put things in order, I make them in a sequence or a pattern, or you clean your house, you're cleaning your house, you're making things in order. But if I say it's an authoritative direction, you see, at that point, an order is, you think of a military standpoint or something, when God or the commander-in-chief orders them to do something, it's an order. It's calling them to action. It's calling them to do something, right? So there's two different definitions of order, the noun or the verb. And I'm going to talk about both of those today, right? So we see that God is a God of order. He's a God that likes to take things and make things out of nothing. You know, in Genesis 1:1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form or void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. And God said, let there be light. And God saw that the light was good, and God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And in the evening and the morning were the first day. Now, you can read on in Scripture and figure out what God says about the creation story. But I'm not here to talk about the creation story, but I'm here to talk to you today about order. You see, we see God here. He started with nothing, and by the sound of his voice, he ordered. It was a command, a direction. He ordered there to be light. And because of that, he formed the light out of the darkness. You see, he says in verse number, or chapter 2, or verse number 2, it says the earth was without form or void. You know, if you want to take the noun verb or the noun of that scripture or that definition of order, it was putting things in order, right? It was lining things up. You know, God was taking a mess. Something without form is going to be a mess. Something without void is something that's just chaotic, right? He was saying something, pure utter darkness, and it was chaotic. And he said, I'm going to take that, and I'm going to speak to it, and I'm going to bring order to the darkness. Amen? So we see here in Scripture that God is a God of order. He's speaking to darkness for there to be light. He's saying, you know, come forth. He's the same God that set this earth on its axis and rotated it at the exact same angle and put it into orbit and set everything into motion. That's the God we're talking about. Now, that same God that made the heavens and the earth, that same God that created Adam and Eve, that same God that created this earthly body that we have today with form and function, you know, you think about just the intricate details of our body, and you think about what has to go into play. It truly is a miracle from God. You know, our heart beats, and our nervous system reacts, and it pumps the oxygen and blood throughout our whole entire body, and it's all related one to another. Without one, it wouldn't survive. But we see God, our body is in order. You don't believe that? Let one thing get out of order and see where you'll be. You know, when Sheila went down to pray, I don't know if I can say it or not, but what you guys don't understand, some of you don't know, is that she's got to have hip surgery. When she knelt down to pray, I thought, whew, well, I guess she's getting a new hip anyway, so she'll be good to go, right? But let one thing get out of order in our body and watch everything else be affected. You know, Sheila's hip, it's out of order. It's bone on bone. Guess what? When she's walking around, that has an effect on her everyday life. Why? Because it's out of order, right? So God is a God of order, and he says, I'm going to bring things into order out of chaos, out of darkness. I'm going to bring things into light, and I'm going to make something out of it. You know, I don't believe this morning that you're here by chance. I don't believe that. I believe it's divine order. It's divine order that you're here. God said you're to be here. He put things in place for you to be here. You see, I'm going to teach today. If you come into this sanctuary to be entertained, guess what? You can probably leave because you're in the wrong place. Because I'm not going to here today to entertain, but I'm here today to share what God told me for you guys. You know, there's a lot of churches that will put on a good show and entertain you, but I'm telling you here today, today's not about entertainment. Today's about hearing from the Word of God and about putting things in order. Right? So if we see, we've read the definitions of order. You know, I'd like to then, I looked in Psalms 37, verse number 23. It says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his ways. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hands. I have been young, and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteousness forsaken or its seed begging bread. He is even merciful and leadeth his seed, is blessed. Depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore. You know, I'd like to dissect that little scripture in Psalm 37 that says the steps of a good man are ordered and ordained. You see, we've seen that God is a God of order. We've seen that he put this whole universe into motion. He put every last intricate detail. He designed and made it, and he designed Adam and Eve, and he created them. And we see that we are here today because God made you. I don't believe in accidents. I don't believe that babies just happen. I believe they're a miracle. People may make mistakes, but God don't make mistakes, right? God don't make mistakes. I believe that every life matters, period. And God has a purpose for every life and soul. A God-given destiny. It's a purpose. A purpose. You see, the steps of a good man are ordered. So we see that word ordered in steps. And you see, steps is simply our destiny, where we're going. Destiny happens by steps. No one ever becomes where they want to be with taking just one huge leap. If you're going to get where God set you out to be, you're going to have to take steps. You're going to have to take forward movement in the right direction, right? You see, God has designed and give us the directions. The steps of a good man are ordered. We're not talking about gender here today. We're talking about mankind. We're talking about how God sets in path our motion. He sets in path our direction. If we will be obedient and listen to him and follow him, right? But so much of the times we want to do it our way. We don't want to follow God. We don't want to do it his way. We want to do it our way. You see, destiny is a series of steps. There's not been one major event or major thing or a magic that has gotten you where you are today. But it's been a series of choices and decisions what has put you in the place where you are today. A series of decisions and choices. You see, those can be positive or those can be negative. You see, not a single person was ever born to be an addict. Not a single person was ever born to be a drug dealer or an alcoholic or a stripper or hateful or negative or grouchy or unreasonable. Not a single person was born to be a gossiper or a naysayer. You see, but it was a series of lives and a series of steps that's got them where they are today. Nobody sets out to be destroyed. But still yet the enemy destroys because it's a series of steps. It's a series of steps. And it's going to take a series of steps to get you out of where you're at right now. So if you don't like the situation that you're in right now, if you don't like the place that you're in, that God has you in, or you don't like the place you're in, guess what? Turn around, do a 180, right? Start taking some steps in the right direction, right? Say, you know what? I'm not going to be where I need to be right off the bat. I can't just be what, you know, God's called me to be right off the bat. But you can take the first step. And I believe some of you today have taken the first step when you asked Jesus Christ into your heart. That's the first step out of the gate, is accepting Jesus Christ into your personal heart, saying, Lord, I need you. I can't do this alone. I've made a mess of my life, and I know that you've created me for a purpose and a plan, and I can't stand where I'm at no more because I'm in misery. But when we make that decision and we say, Lord, I'm going to make that decision to serve you. Lord, I'm going to live for you. And we take that first step. I think that today was divine order. You've given your heart to Jesus today, it was divine order. It was here for a purpose. God says, I set this day into motion. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day. You see, everyone in society now, we live in an instant gratification kind of world, right? You know, we love our microwaves. We want to just throw that food in the microwave. But I'm telling you today that that microwave dinner is not really any good. If you're going to eat a good home-cooked meal, you're going to have to slave over the stove for a little bit. There's going to be some processes that go into that. You're going to have to season it. You're going to have to add a little this and add a little that. You're going to have to put in a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And then at the end of the day, you're going to have to, you know, put it in the oven and let it roast for a few hours or something like that. And it takes time. It's a process. But we live in a society now where it's an instant gratification kind of thing. We want to walk in, throw that meal in the microwave, hit 3 minutes, and when it beeps, pull it out. But I'm telling you, it may sustain you for just a few hours, but it's really not any good, right? If you're going to want sustainable nourishment, you're going to need to spend some time in that process, right? You know, everybody says, you know, we want this magic fat pill, right? We want to just wake up, sit on the couch, watch TV, take this pill, and next thing you know, I'm losing weight, and I can have a six-pack, and I'm all ripped, and everything's good, right? But no, if you want to lose weight, if you want to get in fit, you have got to take the actions that you have to go on that diet, to work at that, right? It's not just going to happen. If you sit on that couch and eat big meals after big meals, guess what? You're going to get fat. It's perfect. I mean, it's just, that's how it fits. You're going to get fat. But we want an instantaneous kind of society where we want to see things happen right now. But God doesn't work that way. He says it's a process. He says it's a series of steps in the right direction. You see, every day that we get up, we face barriers. Every day that we get up, we face things that's going to hinder our destiny. And you might say, what's your destiny? It's your God-given purpose. It's His plan for your life. You see, God has called each and every single one of us to have a plan and a purpose. He designed you for a specific reason. Now, I don't know about you, but I feel like I've wasted enough time doing things my way and not accomplishing His will in my life. You know, and I think sometimes we can do that. We can get ourselves in the way so much that we take out the purpose that we were even created for. And you know, how can I back that up? I can back that up by saying this. I know people who are millionaires, but miserable. You see, success is not measured by a new car or a new house. Success is not measured by the amount of money in your bank account. Success is not measured by your career or your education. Success is not measured by any of those things. Or a stage or a platform. Success is not measured by anything. Success is simply doing what God has called and set out for you to do. The purpose for your life. Living in your destiny that God created for you. Not living in your own made up version of what you think is successful. You see, I know people who are poor, but completely happy where they're at. Content. Because they're in the purpose that God created them for. We know that everybody in this room has a purpose, has a plan. God says it's time to grow up. He says it's time to start living for that purpose. He's saying it's time today. You know, 1 Corinthians 13:11. Says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. You see, he's not talking here about a gender here or anything else. It's talking about maturity. It's talking about development. When God says, I've given you a purpose and a plan, he has to develop us to get there. I don't know about you, but I'm not where I want to be. I'm still on the process of taking the steps to the next level to get where I want to be for my God-given purpose. You see, it's not about just making money all the time or driving that fancy car or saying, oh, we've arrived, right, and just satisfied and sit back and be fat. But I don't want to be that way. I want to become what God set out for me to become and do what God set out for me to do, because that's when I'll be fulfilled. Because that's when I'll be truly happy. That's when I will meet what God set out for me to do. Now, there's a process in that. You're not going to reach there overnight. You're not going to reach there overnight. Every step that you take has to be a choice. Am I walking in the right direction? Am I walking with God? You know, the steps of a good man are ordered by God. He's saying, I'm commanding you to follow me. He's saying, I'm commanding you to follow me. Now, I know today that life happens. I know we all fall short. I know we face situations sometimes that we don't understand or can't comprehend. I know we face barriers in this life where we get discouraged and frustrated, and we get to the point where we're like, Lord, I'm not where I want to be in life. You know, I'm 43 years old, and Missy says I've been having a midlife crisis for about the last 3 years because I feel like I'm not where God wants me to be. I feel like I've not accomplished what God set out to accomplish for my life. I feel like sometimes I've wasted too much time. How many of you ever felt like that? Like you just feel like you've wasted too much time. But you see, God is a God of order, and he's a God that has compassion and mercy on us. He's a God that says, I can take the mess and turn it into a masterpiece. You know, I've always said it's not how you start, but it's how you finish. You know, Jeremiah 29, verse number 11, I know every one of us in this room know this scripture. It says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Do you see that? An expected end. The expected end is your destiny. It's your purpose. What God made you for. Are you working towards what God's made you for? Are you walking in the gifts and talents that he's set out for your life? Are you walking in that path? Are you putting away childish ways and you're saying, Lord, I'm going to mature. I'm going to grow up. I'm going to step in the right direction. I'm going to live my life for you. I'm going to set the motion. Divine order. Because when I get to the end of my life, and each and every single one of us will face judgment one day, when you get to the end of your life, I don't want to hear, depart from me, thy worker of iniquity, for I didn't know you. I want God to say, yes, this was my playbook. This is why I made you. This is why I designed you. This is why I gave you the talents and the abilities and the resources that you have. This is why I put the people in your life that you are around. This is why I set your friends in motion. This is why I put you in the group, in the church that you were in. This is why I did that, because I wanted this for your life. And I want him to say, and you know what? Check, yes, you've accomplished. Yes, you've accomplished. You've been a good and faithful servant. Yes. You know, and I want God to look at my life and say, yes, you know, you accomplished what I wanted you to accomplish. I don't want to get to the end of the rope, to the end, and God say, well, I had all this for you, but you never asked for it. I had all this for you, but you never seeked after it. I had all this for you, but you never reached for it. You never served me. You never lived for me in a way that I could deliver those things to you. You see, I want things to fit. There's nothing worse than a shirt. You buying a shirt. Missy bought me a birthday shirt. I'm going to tell on her a little bit here. Missy bought me a birthday shirt this past week, and it didn't fit. It was a pretty shirt. I liked it. It was cool. It looked nice. But it didn't fit. There's nothing worse than something don't fitting, right? So what we have to do as individuals is we have to fit. That's what order is. We have to put things in order. When they fit, they'll line up. They'll go together. Right? I believe that you're here because you fit. Because God has joined us together as a body of believers in one mind and one accord. Saying, you know what? This community is going to be impacted and changed because of this church. He's put things in order. Right? You fit. If you're here under the sound of my voice, you fit. Don't get discouraged by the barriers or the naysayers, but you're here because you fit. And God says, I'm going to put things in order. I'm putting the pieces of the puzzle together, and you're here for a reason. I've designed you for a purpose. And in order for us to complete this masterpiece, you're one of the pieces. You're one of the pieces today. Are you fitting? You know, in life, we will face struggles and we will go through things. We're going to face opposition and barriers. You know, one of the hardest things that you can think of is when, you know, you think if you're doing everything right that everything will go right for you to get you in the destiny that you're in. But, you know, sometimes God uses the mess to get you to the destiny and the place that he wants you to be. You see, sometimes we look at all of the negative things and all of the hurt and the pain and all of that. We look at that as being detrimental to our life. And God says, you know what? I can use that. He says, I got that. How many of you have ever lost a job, but it's worked out for your good? How many of you have ever went through a trial, but it's worked out for your good? How many of you have ever lost a boyfriend or a girlfriend, but it's worked out for your good? How many of you have ever went through some terrible situations and some terrible things that you cried about, that you wept about, that you sought God so much out? And then after it was all said and done, you stop back and you look at it and you think, man, God's hand was all over that. He worked that out for my good. You know, Romans 8:28 says, For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are who are called according to his purpose. You see, God's putting things together, even the pain in the process. You see, there's going to be pain in the process. You know, see, it doesn't matter how far you're away from your destiny right now, how far it may seem that you're away from your destiny. You know, when I was thinking about this story, I thought of Joseph a little bit. Because I thought how Joseph was, I'm just going to read it. Genesis 37, verse number 9. It says, or 19. It says, and they said one to another, behold, his dream hath cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit. And we will say, some evil beast has devoured him, and he shall see what will come before his dreams. You see, Joseph was a dreamer, and Joseph had a dream of the sheaves bowing down before him. And he told his family the dreams that he had, and his family members, his brothers, got jealous, and they thought, you know, we've really got to get rid of him. He's the father's favorite. We really got to get rid of him. You know, Joseph had a God-given destiny that God was setting out for his life. And because of no acts of his own family sold him out and threw him in a pit and disowned him, basically. And through that, what God did is God come along and he got him up out of the ditch and sold him into slavery. And before long, he was serving in the temple. He found favor. And then Potiphar's wife lied on him, said, well, Joseph was a good-looking man. He probably was ripped. He probably was looking pretty, you know, pretty good. And his wife, Potiphar's wife, said, you know, man, I'd like to sleep with him. Tell me the Bible's not boring, right? I mean, let's be real, right? Potiphar's wife said, I'd like to sleep with him. You know, and she told a lie on him. Then he refused, and he told a lie. Next thing you know, Joseph, he has this dream, he has this vision, he has this goal, but he finds himself thrown in a prison cell. You know, can you only imagine? Sometimes our God-given destiny, it takes a painful process to get there. Right? Sometimes, you know, it's a step, we're moving in the right direction, but sometimes we find ourselves facing opposition in a way that we don't even know where we're at. And we think, God, you created us for this grand thing, or you created us for a purpose and a plan, but we find ourselves in the pit. Or we find ourselves slaving for somebody else, trying to do things the right way. But God says, I'm going to use that pit. That pit's going to have a purpose. That pain that you've been through in your life has a purpose. It's not over, it's just the beginning. God says that pain, that pit, that process that you're in right now, it may be deep mud, it may be mire, it may stink, it may be the worst situation of your life. But God says, you give it to me and I'll take that situation and I'll make that the launching ground for your purpose. And that's what he's doing. He's taking the pain, the mess, the situations that you faced, and he's saying, I'm going to bring you out of those. And before long, next thing you know, what happens to Joseph? He's over all the grain bins, all the harvest. He interprets a dream, right? We all know the story. He interprets the dream. Next thing you know, he's back in the house. Next thing you know, he's got authority again. Next thing you know, his brothers are coming back up, right? But God used the pit, the slavery, the bondage, the things that they've been through to put Joseph exactly where he ordained him to be. Sometimes it's the pain that God is using to get us to where we need to be in this life for his purpose. I feel the presence of God today.
Presence of God's in this
house. You see, God's ways are higher than our ways. You know, Isaiah 59, verse number 9 says, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." You see, God's way is higher than our ways. You see, a lot of us plan everything out sometimes. How many of you know to be truly successful and be truly be fulfilled in this life? If we're going to do what God says, if we're going to be fulfilled, we've got to be in the process of what God has called us to be and do. Sometimes we don't even know what the end result is, but he does. He knows what tomorrow is. He knows what the future holds. He knows the plan and the purpose for our life. As we navigate the twists and the turns of this life, and as we chart out the course, we've got to know that God is the first author of our lives. As he charted out our course, he's the one who made you. He's the one who put you in the family that he put you in.
Amen.
He knows every last intricate detail. It's a divine orchestration of our lives. And see, joy comes when we align our steps and our paths with God in the way he has aligned them for our life to be. But you see, if we're gonna take the steps in this life to accomplish what God has set out, if we're going to have divine order, if we're going to live our life the way God has called us to live it, he's saying, follow me, come with me, take the steps with me. Come here, honey. He's saying, take steps with me. You see, God will never leave you by yourself, but he's going to say, you know what, I'm here with you. I'm going to go, and I'm going to take those steps with you. It may be hurt. It may be painful. It's a process, but he's saying, I'm going to go the next step. We're going to take the next step. We're going to guide you, and we're going to go in the next step. And he's going to say, I'm going to move you in the direction that you need to be. But you see, it's one thing like this. Hang on, before I'm coming to a close, I need you one second. I love illustrations. I love illustrations. But if God is going one direction and I want to go the other, how do you think that's going to work? Right? Stay put. If I want to go somewhere else and God has something else for my life, what's going to happen? Right? You see the battle, you see the pain, you see the process, because I want to go somewhere else that God has not ordained or orchestrated for me to be in. But you see, God's saying, when you walk with me, when you talk with me, when you go through the process with me, I'll lead you to be the purpose and plan that I have. But if you want to do it on your own and you want to resist what is happening and you're saying, you know, hey, I don't want to take that step. And God's saying, no, come on, come on, come on. He's saying, I got a plan. Man, if you could only see what I have for you, if you could only vision, if you would only know the purpose that I had for you in this life, if you could see the destiny that I see for you, you wouldn't be resisting that simple step of coming to Jesus. Or you wouldn't be resisting that simple step of coming to church and serving God. You wouldn't be resisting that simple step of maybe getting things in order in your home and setting things in motion and living a godly life. You wouldn't be resisting that if you could see what God has for you. But we want to do it our own way. We don't want to take the steps of righteousness. We don't want to take the steps that he's called us to take. But our steps are ordered. He's giving the command. Walk with me. Step with me. follow me. How do you follow after God's plan for your life? First and foremost, you got to pray. Second thing you need to do is read God's word. Third thing you need to do is follow and be obedient to the commands that he lays on your heart. Fourth thing is seek a godly community. Come to church, right? Ultimately, at the end of the day, the church is God's bride. I don't know about you, but I don't know any groom that would want his bride to be destroyed or his bride to be hurt in any way, shape, or form, right? I'm a man. I know, you know, I was a groom one day, and there was no way I would let anybody hurt my bride, right? There would be no way that I would let anybody come against my bride. You know, God feels the same way about his church. That's why he values church as much as he does. Seek out a godly community. Obey the truth. You see, God's a God of order, not a God of confusion. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 33 says, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints." You see, Proverbs 16, 9 says, "A man's heart driveth his ways, but the Lord directs his steps." Are you following after God today? I'm coming to a close. Our worship team can come forward. Are you following after God today? Are you being obedient to his ways and his teachings? Are you following after his principles? The steps of a righteous man are ordered and ordained by God. I believe today was a divine orchestration of the Holy Spirit's power to come into your heart to say, "Lord, I'll take the first step. Not only am I going to take the first step, but I'm going to take the continued steps. I'm going to walk with you." You may be been through trials. You may have been through some things. You may be like Joseph on the path to your destiny. You may find yourself in the pit. But God's saying, "I'll deliver you out of the pit." God's saying to you today, it's not over. It's not over. It's just the beginning. It's not over. It's just the beginning. It's the first step today to live for him. It's the first step to serve him. It's the first step in reaching what he set for you to reach and to accomplish your purpose. You see, Jeremiah 29:11 says to give you an expected end. That's when it's all said and done that God can say, you've arrived. Thy good and faithful servant, enter in. Let's come to this altar this morning. Let's seek it. I know we've already had an altar service, but I believe with everything that's inside of me that God ordained today's service, not by coincidence. I don't preach that many Sunday mornings. This wasn't something that Wayne set in motion. This is something the Holy Spirit set in motion for today. He's saying, "You may be in the pit today, but I've got a purpose for you. I've got a purpose for you." Let's come to this altar. If we're going to, you know, the best way, I'm going to say it real quick. The best way to understand what God has for you in this life is to have communication with the manufacturer. You see, he designed you. You see, if I'm going to look at a car, and I know the best way that the peak performances of that car is going to be, the manufacturer is going to know the peak performance of that car. How many of you know that God knows your peak performance? God knows your purpose and your plan. He's saying today, come to this altar. Let's take some steps in the right direction.
Freedom from the chains that bind your children. Freedom from the chains that bind our praise to you. Freedom from the lies of the enemy. Freedom from the chains that bind your children. Freedom from the chains that bind.